James.com.
And that's Chioki, a WMNF alumni. Thank you so much for tuning in to WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM. We are our community radio station. It's lovely that you are here. This show is called Art in Your Ear. My name is Joellen Schilke. I am the hostess who loves you absolutely the mostest, and I will actually fight anybody who says anything different. I would like to welcome back into the studio the lovely and talented and man-hating, just like me. who in the world actually thinks that being a feminist means that you hate men? That's such a stupid way to think. I know.
It's ridiculous.
How did you guys do? Do you have some more people to thank?
We did great. I think we made our goal. We haven't finished tallying it yet, but I want to thank Richard Bell in Pinellas Park, Laura and Sam Angelides in St. Petersburg. I'm sorry if I botched your name. Real and Don LaFond. And the biggest one, I came through with the $1,000 contribution. Aww. Michael Fremlin in Dade City. Thank you so much.
You.
That might have put us over the top. Now it's your turn to support Joellen with Art in Your Ear. The number to call is 813-238-8001.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad you guys did well. That's wonderful. Well, what you heard there before we get started on today's show, I cannot even tell you the level of excitement I have. Clyde Butcher came in yesterday and we recorded an interview with him. He has a show of his Cuba photos at the HCC Gallery in Ybor City. And they are fantastic. And so he came in and talked to us. So we're going to be listening to that interview. While we do this, please support Art in Your Ear and WMNF. We are the only radio station, playing things like Clyde Butcher interviews and important political speeches and great music. And in the background, Fats Waller. Come on, 813-238-8001, or you can go online to WMNF.org. We have a ton of fun gifts to say thank you. The phone answerer can help you with that, or if you're online, you can see them all on the Art in Your Ear page. We believe in you. We believe that you're going to help me raise $2,400 before 2 o'clock for this show. So when I see some lines light up, we'll get back into that. I do want to let you know, before we get started, that support for WMNF comes from you, our fantastic members in Florida Southern College. Encouraging visitors to experience the world's largest collection of Frank Lloyd Wright architecture with a guided campus tour. Tour reservations and details can be found at flsouthern.edu/FLLW. We're going to listen to some Fats Waller while you call 813-238-8001 or go online to WMNF.org. And we'll be back very shortly with Clyde Butcher.
No one to walk with, but I'm happy on the shelf. A misbehaving, saving my love for you, for you, for you, for you. I know for certain the one I love. I'm through with flirting, it's you that I'm thinking of. A misbehaving, saving my love for you. Like Jack Horner in the corner. Don't go nowhere.
I would love to think of it. Stephen Kenny for kicking us off this fun drive. Thank you, artist Stephen Kenny. He went online to WMNF.org and gave us a little bit of money. Thank you also to Michael Dean. Wonderful Michael Dean also went online and supported us using his plastic. So you can do that too. 813-238-8001, WMNF.org. Let's listen, perhaps, to some Clyde Butcher. Welcome to Art in Your Ear. I'm really thrilled to welcome Clyde Butcher, legendary photographer Clyde Butcher, to Art in Your Ear. Thank you so much for coming in for this.
Oh, I think it's going to be fun.
I think it is going to be fun. You've got a show opening up. Well, actually, by the time people hear this, you have a show that has opened up at HCC Ybor Gallery about your photos of Cuba.
Yep.
You're known, at least in Florida, for your photos of Florida, primarily the Everglades. What was so interesting to you about Cuba?
Well, Cuba was actually, back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, was actually part of Florida. People considered it part of Florida. But it doesn't have one thing that Florida doesn't have is mountains and lots of palm trees. When I first came to Florida, I thought, these are all pine trees. Where are the palm trees? They're in Cuba. Mm. Yes.
And so mountains, and we're a peninsula. It's an island, so that makes sense.
It's the same size as Florida.
Oh, that's bigger. True.
Yeah.
That's true. So you decided, I'm going to go take pictures because it's a natural extension of what I do?
Not really. I did it because the UN wanted me to do it.
Well, that's a good reason.
It was the Year of the Mountains. They were celebrating all over the world. They call it the Year of the Mountains, environmental aspects. United States, it was, I think, Boulder, and Cuba was the Caribbean. So it was basically to show the people in the Caribbeans my thoughts on Cuba.
Had you been to Cuba before the UN asked you to go take pictures there?
No, never been there before. Never been there before. It was at 2002. It was a little tricky getting there. I went under Clinton had made a license for artists, and so I went under with that license. So I was able to just fly from Miami to Cuba. It was really kind of fun, though. We had a tour guide. Tour guides think that everybody wants to see the cities. So the first thing they did is drove me, I think it was in San Domingo, and I said, well, why are we here? He says, well, to see the city. I said, I don't want to see the city. I want to see Cuba. He said, this is not Cuba. Cuba is the landscape. And he says, well, let's go out and look. I said, no, I'm not getting out of this car. So they finally got the hint that I wasn't getting out of the car. And we headed out and started seeing Cuba.
How did you figure out, was it just driving around? Had you known where to go to take these amazing photos?
No, I had no idea. Normally I don't, people go tell me, do you scout? I said, no, I just go. And if it feels good, I photograph it. Now, the northern part of Cuba is like Florida. The southern part is basically the ocean coming up. The ocean, I think, there went up three times. Because you'll see coral way up high. And then you'll see coral a little lower and lower. The west coast goes just offshore, 1,000 foot. Off the northern part, it's 2 feet, 6 foot.
One of the things that I love about your photos is that I'm not looking at a photo, I'm looking at a place. I feel like I am there as if I was standing next to you seeing this stuff. When do you or how do you decide, yes, this place right now?
How do I decide? If it feels good, I make a picture. If you notice a lot of my pictures in the center, there's no center of interest. This basically the interest is of the full photograph, because I make my pictures big so you can't see them, so you have to explore them, and by exploring them you get the feeling of it. And I learned that in Florida because of the swamps. When you're in Florida, you have to get close and personal. Cuba is somewhat similar to out west, where you have some mountains and things to photograph in the distance. But I've learned in Florida how to see what's really there. I can't tell you how many people have been with me when I take a picture, and when they see the print, they'll swear they weren't there.
Well, one of the things that it seems that your eye pays very close attention to is the sky.
Oh, yeah, I love skies.
There's a Facebook group called Sky Friends, and it's all people posting photos of pictures of clouds in the sky and stuff like that. And it has sort of an emotional component to it because there's not just the love that people have it, but the way that people experience being as part of nature and part of the sky. You know, it's very easy to feel like a little tiny dot when you look up.
It's very uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, to me, very strange that water can float.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's amazing. But I have a lot of people out west say, well, there's no mountains. So our mountains change every day.
We have a mountains all along the horizon.
We don't have same old mountains every day. We have new ones every day.
Well, I'm going to pause for a second there. That's Clyde Butcher. He's got a show at HCC in Tampa, at Ybor, and he's got to show up. We've got an interview. We're going to continue in a minute, but we are in the middle of our fundraiser. If you could donate to this wonderful radio station, we are a public radio station, and this is how we stay on the air. 70% of what we gather goes to, comes from you, our listeners. You can go online and or by going to WMNF.org or call 813-238-8001 while this is on. You can get yourself a Day of the Dead skull or a wonderful 40 years t-shirt as a thank you present. But please support this. Let it be true that it matters that we have art on the radio in the afternoon, Friday afternoon, prime time. If this is something that is important to you, please support it. We're going back to our interview with Clyde Butcher. You're listening to an interview with Clyde Butcher here on Art in Your Ear. He's got a new show of photos of Cuba, the natural beauty. It's at HCC in Ybor. When you were going through Cuba and mm-hmm. taking photos, one thing that was just completely charming is that there's also photos of you working.
Right.
And relaxing and resting. Was it necessary for you to be there a few days to sort of get the feeling for the place besides the tour guide wanting to show you, or was there can you create a sympathy for yourself pretty quickly?
We ended up in San Domingo off the airplane. And after convincing my guide that I have no interest in seeing downtown, we left, and within 15 minutes, I took my first photograph. Okay. It was a great, it's the tree they make furniture out of, but it had these bromeliads. It was just huge. I think they would kill you if they fell off the tree. So basically, it just brought me to some of the same essence of Florida. But that, but also it was really fun. I got to meet a farmer, and there he was farming bananas. And in Cuba, they just plant their bananas in the forests. So they don't cut the forest down to plant them. They just plant them. So he was kind of curious of what I was doing, because I don't speak Spanish, so I couldn't explain to him. So he's looking at my camera, and I said, come over here, and I put him in there under the dark cloth. And he comes out, and he said, upside down, world upside down. I said, hey, I couldn't get him away from the camera. He was so fascinated, the world being upside down.
You don't look through the camera when you're taking a picture?
All I do is use it for focus. I've been shooting the same angle of view lens since 1962.
And you have I would think, to create such large format photos with such crystalline detail, that is a very specific way of working.
I used three cameras in Cuba, the 4x5, the 5x7, and the 8x10. The first time I used the 4x5 because they were having a difficult time at the airport understanding what I was doing. When I brought the 8x10, they said they want to look inside. They thought the camera was a suitcase. So I had to unfold it and camera.
Wow, that's awesome.
Then they wanted to see inside the box of film.
No.
That didn't work too good.
These photos were shot several years ago. Are you interested? Is there a desire to go back to Cuba? Are there places that you have not taken photos of yet where you want to go?
Well, it would be nice to go. I only spent 3 10-day trips. You can't see a whole country in 30 days. And I understand since I've left, they've added more national parks. In fact, in 2002, they had added, since the Russians left, they had added 10% of their forests. They hadn't taken out 10%, they've added 10%.
Imagine that. I wish somebody else would follow that.
Yes. In fact, there was an article about how we could solve global warming just by planting trees. And they told you where it was and how many to do. Very simple.
Very, yeah, plant some trees.
Yeah.
And that'll eat up the CO. Yeah. Well, that must be, to make it broader, you know, your work of Florida, of the Everglades, of other parts, the love of place that you have, I assume that it's more than just the love of a couple of specific places,
right,
but a love of place.
Well, Cuba gave me the same, really the same feeling as Florida. very intimate. The people were great. They lived very simply. It was interesting at that period of time. It was before LEDs, but everybody had these little fluorescent light bulbs. They didn't allow incandescents because it took too much electricity. They probably don't do much CO2 because they don't have much to do with it. A lot of walking, a lot of bicycling. Every horse had a little bucket at his rear end.
A poop bucket?
Yeah, poop bucket. Because they needed fertilizer.
Right.
They didn't waste anything.
So much what we can learn.
Yes.
So, Clyde Butcher.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit more about your photos.
Okay.
Your photos are pretty hot, you know?
Wow.
So, before the interview, I was asking you about what you were seeking when you created a photo, when you take a photo. And you were great. So I want to ask that so listeners can hear the answer and not just me selfishly. What do you want with the photo?
I want a person to walk into it, to experience it, to get a real happy feeling about the environment, that it's precious. I can't imagine any place on earth is any better beautiful than this earth we have. We need to keep it. But people don't understand how important the environment is. Where do they think oxygen comes from? Water comes from? Nature supplies all these things for free, but we have to respect it. There's a, you know, there's a big, you know, conflict between progress. They say progress, and there is a lot of good progress. A lot of good things are happening, but they could learn a lot from Cuba.
Years and years ago, I was down by where you are in the Everglades, and it seemed to be a pretty sort of straightforward, no frills.
It is.
Nothing fancy.
Well, you know, after all, Big Cypress is one of the, which is really part of the Everglades. It's probably pretty unique in Florida. It's probably the healthiest place there is in Florida. The water is so clean, you can drink it. That would be nice if all the water in Florida would say that. And Cuba had places more like that. And they had places that were left over from the Russians that were really bad because they were doing it for money. But I think the Cubans have made a lot of progress since the Russians left.
When we were there, it was a couple of years ago, and there was a lot. It was very interesting talking to people. We were in Havana, and buildings were falling down and killing people because there'd been so little work done on the infrastructure.
Right.
And in conversations, though, it was interesting talking to people who were my generation and younger. And younger and younger was my generation's kind of old, that they were talking a lot about the environmental impact and looking at that. And there it was fairly common, and they were concerned about the weather patterns, you know, how they're just a little island and the global weather patterns are affecting them more and more. Mm-hmm. Global climate change hurts them in a way much more than it does hurt others because they have less resources to prepare for it, prevent it, and things like that.
But I tell you, though, I was there, I think it was in August, just after Hurricane hit Cuba. And we went and drove this, we were going to go to this road, and the road was closed because the water had raised up. They couldn't go across the road. And all of a sudden, I was noticing there was nobody in this large town. A couple of soldiers laying around. And I asked them, what happened? They brought buses in and took everybody out of harm's way.
Exactly, which is how the humane way of dealing with things.
Yeah, and they say they're the bad guys. Well,
so going back to the photos, for instance, there's one photo, and I can't remember the name, but it's the shore curving around.
Oh, yeah.
But what's so interesting is that the clouds are a counterpoint to it, and so there's this energy of sort of like a whoosh, you know, through it, that all the energy goes in a half circle in it. And looking through the book and looking at the, some of these photos were at the Dalí, and looking at your other photos, again, you have these, various lines, you know, you have sort of, planes, P-L-A-N-E-S, planes in there and
lines that actually bring you into the photograph.
Right. You're sneaky.
Yeah, I am. Well, you know, I'm an architect. And one of the things they teach you in architecture is how to see. Because that's kind of important. If you're going to design a building, you want to figure out how people are going to attract people to the building, how you're going to get them into the building. So a lot of that went, I guess, subconsciously into my photography.
And you are listening on to Art in Your Ear, an interview with Clyde Butcher. I'm so sorry to interrupt, but we have to raise $2,400 on the show, and we have about $400. You can help keep arts conversations like this and all the ones that we do on the air. 813-238-8001. There's lots of thank you gifts. We've got some of our Day of the Dead skulls. We've got Daddy Cool's gift certificate. We've got tickets to Fiddler on the Roof. We've got tickets to see Rocky Horror, all sorts of things, but they are just thank you gifts. They are not the reason why you shop. You're here to support community radio. Please, I just want to play this interview, but I've got to get some lines lit up. 813-238-8001. Or you can listen and use the website at the same time. That's WMNF.org. It's right there on the front page. Hit the tip jar or hit the front page and support. Do $5 a month or $10 a month. Do $500. Do $1,000 if you can afford it. Keep this show on the air. There's so much going on in the arts, and we're the only broadcast weekly art show in the Tampa Bay area. Don't let this slip away. It's so important. I'm not important, but the show is really important. Please, 813-238-8001 or WMNF.org. Here's some more Clyde Butcher.
Is how to get people into those spaces. And was the clouds can bring you in. And with that particular area you're talking about, just reminds me of Carmel, California. Yeah, it was very familiar to being in California and Point Lobos and that whole area on the West Coast. Very familiar. Big Sur, yeah.
Do you have a lot of photos of California?
Oh, yeah. Because I'm from California, and it would go back, probably every few years. So I've got Yosemite and Death Valley and the Redwoods and the sand dunes and... That's where I kind of grew my photography techniques, was in California.
Okay. And so I always associate you with water or the presence of water, but then sounds now I can also associate you with the absence of water if you've got Death Valley and all.
Well,
that.
Yeah, but I we lived on a sailboat.
Okay. So the water thing isn't that far off.
No, if you look at my Florida work, there's very few pictures that don't. I'm not in the water.
Do you revisit your old photos? Or are you like, I'm going to go look at my photos from?
Oh, I always do. And sometimes I think I'm improving. Sometimes I think maybe I'm not improving. I'm not sure. No, you get different feelings, and when you print them.
Do you ever sort of see things in your photos that you're very present when you're taking your photos?
Right.
You see very well. But I wonder, do you ever see things that you didn't notice? And you go back and you look at a photo, you're like, look at that.
Oh, this Kay Acosta number two. Oh, gosh. beautiful picture. And all of a sudden, I realized it was a tin can. I didn't like that tin can in there.
You're ruining everything, you stupid tin can.
Yeah. So those are the things. Because in film, you can't really fake anything. It's there. No Photoshop.
Right. And so what happens? You take the photos and you have these different large format cameras, and you're using what type of film?
Mostly I've been using T-Max 100, which is the finest grain film you can use.
And that's what gives such incredible clarity.
Yeah, it really does.
And then it's time to develop. So what is that part of the process?
Well, that part is really interesting. Because I wanted my pictures big, and really the photo industry doesn't design equipment to do that. So I have to design the easels to print on for the 40-inch rolls, the trays I had to create. They're 5-foot by 4-foot trays. So I had to kind of like invent the mechanisms. The first large pictures I was doing, I was living in Fort Myers. I actually ended up washing the pictures in my swimming pool. I hope there wasn't too much chlorine.
Is there a lot of tone choices and different decisions that you have to make once you start developing?
Well, that's one of the interesting things about black and white. Now, in color, you have to get the color right. In black and white, there is no answer. Do I want the blacks as black as it? I want the whites. I want the gray tones. Do I want to burn this, make this darker? I want to hold this back, make it lighter? There really is no answer. So each picture you do is individually created. You should see, like, Ochoapi is one of my famous pictures. Straight print. You couldn't even recognize a print from the straight print to the film. Finished print. I mean, it's like night and day.
Because you were like, I need to up God. This, I need to down that, I need to switch this.
Well, God didn't give us the right balances all the time.
Well, it's secondary.
It's all his fault.
He gave you the ability to figure it out yourself.
Yeah, he gave us that ability, yes. But, you know, he just doesn't give you all the tonal ranges you need.
So do you try it in several ways and then settle on one?
Well, sometimes it takes weeks. I've had some pictures I've gone back to a couple of years later and say, you know, that was a good picture, but I couldn't get it. And all of a sudden, it's interesting. Sometimes in my sleep, I'll say, I know how to fix that picture. Do that picture now.
There's a picture, and I don't know the name, but the one that a friend has in her living room, which is so beautiful. It took me 2 years, I would say. They had it for at least 2 years before I noticed the shadows of the clouds. Mm-hmm. On there, because I was looking at the trees and the water and the stalks of different things growing out and the clouds. And then, look at all the shadows there. I hadn't seen that. So that was one thing else is sort of the unfolding of the photos.
Well, one of the things that's really neat about black and white is you can keep discovering. But if you like color, if you like blue, you're going to see the blue. If you like green, you see the green. Where in the black and white prints, people keep discovering picture in their house year after year that, I didn't know that was there. Because it's all tones. I say to people, do you like air or do you like water? Which one would you rather have? Well, the photograph, black and white, gives you all those choices. There's nothing more important in the photograph. The sky, the grass, the water, the trees, they all have the same relationships. Well, there's one thing that I really looking for when I photograph, and whether it was Cuba here or Spain or anywhere, I look for chaos. Now, when you have chaos in nature, you usually have biological order. So it's my...
Just expand on that a little so people understand, including me.
Nature knows what each other plants want. Some plants don't like other plants. They'll kill them. But if you find that it's chaos, you'll find that it's actually biologically working. And my job is to try to make order out of the chaos.
I was reading the book, I want to say The Secret Life of Trees. I'm not sure if that's the right name, but it was a German forester wrote it about how there's tree communities and how they support each other. Mm-hmm. And I think that the Everglades, for example, a lot of untouched nature or less touched nature, but the Everglades is a extreme example of that, of how they're sort of like, yep, we made this ecosystem. It works great. Don't mess with it.
Right. And that's why Big Cypress works pretty good, because we don't have rivers run into it. We've had a couple of canals that they've blocked up. And it's basically, if you get rain, you get rain, you get water. If you don't have rain, you don't get water. I did work in the Delaware Gap in Pennsylvania, New Jersey. They have 100 waterfalls going in that poor old river. it can really change really quickly. And if there's pollutants on one side, that's a pretty interesting area too. There's a lot of very interesting areas. Not many, and the East Coast is difficult. There's one area, it's called Congaree National Park in South Carolina. That's actually chaos.
I'm going to pause this for a second. Thank you so much for listening to Art in Your Ear on 88.5 WMNF. Also, I just want to mention, I'm going to load this interview up to our Mixcloud page, and that information will be put on the Art in Your Ear page and the Art in Your Ear Facebook page. But we have some good news. We are in our fund drive. We have to raise $2,400, and we have a patron, a lovely, lovely, lovely patron who has offered to do a matching donation. You hear this all the time on public radio. They will match the next five $100 donations. The next five $100 donations. We've got to get those probably by 1:55. So we only have about 20 minutes to do this. If you have been thinking about donating, please, if you give us $100, we're going to get $100 more. Give us another, each person gives 100, we get 100 up to five times. 813 238-8001. This is such an interesting interview. Clyde Butcher is such an amazing artist. He's such a good person. I know you want to listen, but right now we really have to raise money. I don't want this to have been a bad idea for me to play the interview today instead of pitching the whole time. 813-238-8001 or online at WMNF.org. I'd like to thank Anonymous so much, a great supporter of the station. Thank you to Duncan Strauss. He does Talking Animals and raised some money this past Wednesday. He thinks that Art in Your Ear is fab, and we think he is fab. Thank you so much to Jim Graves, a photographer. If you're a photographer, please think about how often you hear photography talked about on the airwaves, where you can listen and get an in-depth interview with an artist on why they do what they do, how they do what they do, what they're thinking about. It's really the best part of, I think, the show is understanding the creative process. I also want to thank another artist, Bradley Arthur. I'd like to thank someone who is very steeped in art, Catherine Gibson and Sven Frankelton. Thank you. Amy Fanskowick, thank you so much. And Flea, thank you so much. We're going to get back to this interview, but please, we've got a chance to get an extra $500 because you are going to donate $100 to 813-238-8001 or online at WMNF.org. Here's more Clyde Butcher.
Good chaos.
Yeah.
So chaos
yeah.
is good.
Yeah.
Dear listeners, you're listening to Clyde Butcher on Art in Your Ear. He's got a show up in Ybor at HCC called Cuba, The Natural Beauty, and that shows up through December 6th. One of the things that also is so interesting about your work is not just the sense of being in the place and not just the detail, the extreme detail of everything, but the timelessness of it, mm-hmm. that it could be, I think partially because of the black and white, but also because of the photo, it could be 1,000 years ago, it could be today. So again, how is that part of your work?
A lot of that's because I'm looking for chaos. Because it has been there 1,000 years or 500 years. I found a little forest of cypress trees up on the Santa Fe River that must be 2,000 years old. This one tree is 53 feet in circumference. In Cuba, they have trees there that have been there a long time. A lot of them are religious trees. They have religious feelings to them, so they don't touch them. Cuba has that sense of, you'll see a whole mountain, just solid royal palms, just a whole mountain of them. So obviously, they've been there a while.
But is there a spiritual component to your photos?
Well, that's why I get it. Because nature has a spiritual component. Now, if you haven't tried it, hug a tree for about half an hour.
I've never gotten a half hour with it.
And you'll find a real connection to that tree. It's amazing the energy that nature has if you are still enough. People don't keep people still is difficult these days. With our cell phones and our cell watches.
I'm old-fashioned. I've got an old-fashioned watch.
I am really old-fashioned.
I heard you don't do email. You don't even have a watch.
I don't have a watch.
Sundial?
Well, yeah, normally I could tell you what time it is within 15 minutes probably.
Right. What's next? What are you working on next?
Well, I'm working on next. Well, one of the things in Florida, which people here in South Florida don't realize, of all the damaging is happening to the springs in northern Florida. So I'm trying to bring that to people here in Florida because a lot of people don't see them. It's far away, and you have to be usually in a canoe or a kayak or sometimes tubing down them. Hardly anything in Florida is majestic as like Half Dome is in Yosemite. So sometimes it's hard to convince people it's what it's all about. So we've been working, and we just got back from St. John River area up by DeLand, doing a project up there. We're going to a ranch outside of Arcadia try to bring all this beauty to these silly politicians.
You've been always, as long as I've been familiar with your work, an artist activist or an activist artist, that your care and concern and love of nature, you have not hesitated to let people know about that. Do you see an impact that you have had? Is there, you're talking about the springs. How can you, how do you sort of figure out, like, how can I best address this with people?
When I first worked on the Everglades, nobody understood the Everglades. I mean, the scientists maybe understood it, but people didn't understand it. Photographers in Florida were taking pictures of birds and gators. You go to a zoo and do birds and gators, right? And people ask me, you want to save the panther? No, I don't want to save the panther. But if I save where he lives and his food source, he'll take care of himself. So I've learned through the Everglades, when it started, I started that in probably really seriously in 85, 84, and I worked with, if you ask politicians at the time of the 90s, that my work really helped them sell the concept of restoring it. So if I could do the same thing with springs, it would be exciting.
Was that part of who you were before you came?
No.
But living there, you're like, oh.
What happened when I first started photography as a art form, as a making a living, was in 1969. And I was doing it to make a living. I didn't really understand what I wanted to do until in 1986, our son was killed. Car accident. That's when I decided that I wanted to explain Florida to people. I was doing it, I started in color. People were getting excited about it, but they just so much color you couldn't see it. So I decided in 1986, I took all my color work to the dump. And
to the dump?
Dump. Probably 400.
Did anyone smack you up on the side of your head?
Well, I think people thought I was a little crazy. Well, my other artist friends, I mean, I was making in color sales-wise 20 times as much as people were doing black and white, or maybe 100 times. And they all thought I was just absolutely crazy, and probably was. Because Nikki, my wife, was doing hand-colored black and white, which she was doing well. We thought she could make our living, and I was going to be doing the art. Because I started photographing, I still photograph things that I want to photograph, not considering if it would sell or not. And it's fortunately that seemed to work. When you photograph things that you just feel are good, it seems to work.
Do you ever sort of secretly do color photos? Like, oh, I'm going to take a color photo. Don't tell anybody.
Well, actually, since my stroke, I've been shooting digital, which is in color, but I convert it to black and white. And people say, well, can I have some of your color? No. I guess if they want some of my old color stuff, maybe. But
there are, you have a book, and I'm going to, there'll be a picture up on the Art in Your Ear Facebook page and the Art in Your Ear page on WMNF.org, but you have a book for this, yep. Cuba, The Natural Beauty. There are color photos in here, but they're color photos of how you made it happen.
Right. Most of them probably are taken from by my wife.
How's that new book smell?
Well, you have the first one.
I do. I'm so excited.
This is a rerun.
I don't want to give it to anyone.
You actually have number first one that anybody's ever had.
Number one.
You're number one.
Also, you just got back from Spokane.
Yep.
Spokane, Washington. I'm from New York. We call it Spokane. But
yeah, they'll shoot you over there.
I know they will. And you won an award.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is. It's a international something or another.
I had it here and then I clicked away from it and see if I can go back to it. And the award is, you've won a few awards in your life.
Yeah, this one is interesting because the people that have received this award are people like
Ansel Adams,
Everett Weston, Walt Disney.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that invented the Digital world.
Mm-hmm. It says the most accomplished photographers whose images and their presentation have contributed to the advancement of understanding among people, leaving a unique impact on the world by focusing attention on changing perceptions.
Just that?
Well, you know, there's some other stuff in there.
But no, it was really an honor to people recognize you because I'm not really in the, how do I say this, the photo group. I just do my thing, and all these shows we've gotten, basically people want us to do them. We've done museum shows all over the United States. We did a millennia show in National Gallery in Prague, 2000. The Dolly show was really neat. I don't know if you saw the Dolly show.
I did see the Dolly show.
That was nervousing.
It was a fun contrast.
Yeah.
Between Dali's work and your work, there was a good dialogue, I guess, between the two.
People seemed to understand Dolly's work after they saw my work. And I didn't realize he was really into the landscape. He had his bed set up. When he woke up in the morning, he had a mirror set up. So he was the first one in Spain to see the sunrise. This guy was a nut, you know, but he was an interesting nut.
So it seems that there's probably people all over the world that are loving on Clyde Butcher's photos.
We have on our Facebook, we get people. In fact, I got a letter a few years back. It was addressed Clyde Butcher, USA, Everglades.
And then it came.
It was from Australia.
Right. But look at you talking about Facebook, Mr. Social Media.
Well, that's my daughter and granddaughter.
I know, yeah, I'm sure. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah, my daughter and granddaughter are here. They know what they're doing.
They do know what they're doing.
And I've got to break in. This is an interview with Clyde Butcher, the master photographer, legendary photographer Clyde Butcher. He has a show up at HCC Ebor's Gallery. It's up and through December. Right now, we are trying to raise $2,400 here on public radio, community radio, Art in Your Ear on WMNF. We have a $500 challenge right now. That means that if we get five people to donate $100, they will be matched. So please, right now, while you're listening, 813-238-8001, 813-238-8001. I am very worried that WMNF is not going to see Art in Your Ear as doing its part during this fund drive. And so please, if you are a listener of WMNF and you're a listener of Art in Your Ear, if you have not donated, please, right now, do donate. You can go online to WMNF.org or call 813-238-8001. We have 10 minutes left in the show. We have about $2,000 to raise. If you match this $500, if we can get that, that'll certainly do a big chunk. So please, right now, be one of our heroes. You can take a thank you gift, but call 813-238-8001. Go online to WMNF.org. Here's more Clyde Butcher.
I supply.
And are very pleasant and wonderful to work with.
I supply the pictures and they supply the energy. My wife also was 57 years.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do this without her.
Right. Nikki, and she has.
Yeah.
Does she still do her own work?
Yeah. She's there. She's hand painting on the computer now.
Oh, that makes sense.
But she's going to start going back to hand painting with ink, with oils pretty soon.
Wow. And everybody, how are you feeling? How is your health?
I'm doing better.
Mm-hmm. Look very healthy.
I wish I looked at Phil's because I look. my right side is still kind of numb.
Mm-hmm.
But I spent a lot of walking and when I was out in Spokane. Yeah, I've lost a lot of weight too. Mm-hmm. That helps.
Right. Yeah. Well, is there anything that I have not asked you about your work that you think is important?
Well, you know, I think that people are out of realize that Cuba is doing a lot of good stuff. There, I don't think it's causing a big problem as far as global warming. I should mention, though, that our house has complete solar on it, and we have an electric car, which charges by the house. And last year, we got $100 back from FBNL.
Good for you. Wow, that's awesome.
So we're trying to get our footprint as minimal as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people are not doing.
Even, I was reading an article in there, and it was this terrible, I thought terrible article, because it was saying, oh, you can choose to bring your own bag to the store, and you can do this, but it's not really making a difference. And I was like, a ridiculous, stupid thing to say. If 3 million people bring their own bags to the stores, that's, you know, 10 million bags that aren't being used.
Well, yeah.
Plastic bags that aren't being used.
We have all of our canvas bags from Publix.
Hey, no commercial posting there.
Okay. But I see people go to the grocery store and they all bring those bloody plastic bags. Usually their bags are $1.
Right.
You can't afford $1.
Or they give you free bags on all these different things. You can just, there's always somebody giving away some silly bag.
Yeah, in Cuba, it was really interesting. We were driving along and we had money, so we would buy 2 liter water I'm not sure I want to drink the regular water there. But anyhow, so when we would get through, one of the fellows in the car would take the bottle. He was a Cuban. He would throw it out the window. And Nikki says, you know, it costs $500 fine in America when you throw something out the window. He says, well, watch the next time I do it. He would wait for a kid along the road, throw it out there, and that kid would have to stop up that bottle instantly so he had something to carry water in. So they didn't recycle. They reused.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, Clyde Butcher, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for coming into Art in Your Ear on WMNF. We're playing this during our fun drive. We're a community radio station, and most of our support comes from our listeners. And I think that you being here is the gift that we can give to the listeners, because it's been wonderful talking to you.
Well, it's been fun.
Oh, good. I hope so.
To be able to share with people is important.
It's a beautiful show. It's a beautiful art show. It has many other qualities besides beauty.
Yeah.
But that is the one that is the initial.
We also have, I think, our 8x10 view cameras in the show.
People can look through it?
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
Can people take pictures with it?
No. If they want to spend $10 a sheet for a film, maybe.
There you go. I bet. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And that was Clyde Butcher. What a great guy. What a great interview. And this is something that we can do here on community radio that it's just not done anywhere else. Hello, Randall.
Hello, Joe Ellen. And I'm here because I really support this show and believe
you
in
do.
This show as part of community radio. When we talk about community radio, what are we talking about? We're talking about celebrating the community, bringing the community into the radio station to do their thing, to talk their talk, to walk their walk. And we do it every day on WMNF, but especially on shows like this. This is one of the important shows for really defining community radio and for helping us be community radio. If you are a listener to Art in Your Ear with Joe Ellen, if you've been listening for 20 years or just this is the first time, please give us a call at 813-238-8001. We have a long way to reach our goal today, and we only have about 10 minutes to go. And Joelle and I hear we just got a challenge.
We did. We have a challenge for 5 $100. If we get five, and we have to get all five, I think. I don't know. Five $100 pledges, and we will get a $500 donation.
One of Joelle's big friends said they want to encourage people to pledge, so they're putting up $500 conditionally that we can get five people to match that by a 201. So call right now and let Joelle know that you appreciate Art in Your Ear, that you value this show, and that you value this radio station that is a community radio station. We have so many shows that have live music, have guests in, have artists in. This is your station. We want to keep it going. 813-238-8001 is our number in Tampa. We're trying to raise, I think, $2,400 on this show. We're maybe at about $1,000 now at 813-238-8001. Come on, give us a call.
We've had some great support from Mr. Vinyl, Mike Humphreys, who does Route 66. He's probably getting ready to come in and raise money on his show. I love that show. It's the best hour on the radio. So thank you, Mr. Vinyl. And thanks also to Phil Klein for his donation. Southside St. Pete represents. And that gets us a little closer, but that does not get us to the match. 813-238-8001. A big part of this show, the purpose of this show, is not just to let you know what's going on, but to let you know that we are a unified community. We live in a wonderful place, and there's wonderful things going on, and that you have a creative part of yourself, and it's important to let that creativity come out. The lessons of this show, if anything, is that you should get out, go see some art, go to a play, write a story, draw something, and live your life right now as if you, as how you should be able to honor your soul. 813-238-8001. We do have a line lit up. We need more lines lit up. We have to support Art on the Air. I don't want this show to go anywhere else.
We want to keep Art in Your Ear here, and the way to do that is to call us right now at 813-238-8001. We need some $100 pledges.
Or $1,000.
We have a challenge underway. You could $100 or more, so you could do $10 a month, or you could do $1,000, and that would really help us out right now. This is one of the shows that defines community radio. This station encourages activism, encourage you to be in your community, doing political work, doing cultural work, doing musical work, supporting music, supporting culture, supporting politics. And this is the station that is different from any other radio station in the country, that we have these kind of values that we just put out there, that we are actually not just trying to sell to the corporate advertiser types, but we are actually trying to create community. Support us at 813-238-8001. Support Jo Ellen for all the work that she does for you and for the community. We need to hear from five more people, and there's only one line lit right now. We only have a few minutes left in the show. 813-238-8001 or WMNF.org if you're on a computer.
I'd like to thank Sandy and Suzanne Wismer. Thank you so much for your support of Art in Your Ear. I'm sending love back to you. Please support this show, 813-238-8001. Usually we kind of breeze along to our goal, and this time I want to play a very special interview for you, and I don't want that to have been a mistake.
It was a fantastic interview, and every week there's great stuff on Art in Your Ear. Interviews and guests, and it's just makes the station come alive every Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock. 813-238-8001. Support Art in Your Ear and support Jo Ellen. Come on, give us a call.
I know. So, and you can do this. We in the past have had on the airwaves, we have had just last week, we had Your Real Stories on, we've had Job Site Theater on, we've had international artists on, we've had local artists on. The important part is that it's something that you can go see or experience, and something that might get you to pick up a pen or type or write a poem or something like that. Please, our community matters, and Art in Your Ear, I hope, matters to people in the community to keep us on the air so we can amplify your voices. If you can afford to give $1,000 right now, we need your $1,000. We need your $1,000 really badly.
We have only one line lit. We need to hear from at least four more people to meet that match. We're hoping somebody will do $1,000 in those last four or five pledges. Here's the number in Tampa. It's a real easy number. It's 813-238-8001. And if you're on a computer, you can check out all our gifts and stuff and pledge online. It's very simple at WMNF.org. The tip jar is right on the homepage. So call now or go to your computer, but do it.
You can go see Rocky Horror Picture Show, and Barry Bostwick from the movie is going to be there at Tampa Theater. You can go, there's a very special performance of Fiddler on the Roof that you can go to at the Straz Theater. We've got our Day of the Dead Skulls up there. We have lots of ways to say thank you. We've got the great 40 years t-shirt. 40 years, this little radio station has been here for 40 years. Making waves in the community, giving people a home where you don't fit in with the commercial idea of having people yelling ads at you and making money. We come to you three times a year and ask for your support, your financial support. If you can continue to do that, that would be wonderful.
You can't take it for granted.
Oh, Bill Grable of Grable Plumbing comes through, and he is matching that $500 thing. Thank you so much. He says he loves Jo Ellen. I love you, Bill, and Art in Your Ear. And Randy is a fabulous source of information. This
Thank
is
you,
who
Bill.
We are. And I need a plumber, too. This is who we are. We are a group of people that all work together to make community radio happen. Please do your part. 813-238-8001 online, WMNF.org. Please, we only have 2 minutes left to do this. Please, 813-238-8001. Pledge $25, pledge $250, pledge $2,500, and then we'll just do the goal in one fell swoop.
It's really starting to happen, Joelle, and people are stepping up and they want to support Art in Your Ear. We're looking for a $1,000 pledge to close off the show. Here's the number. It's 813-238-8001. If we haven't heard from you yet this week, it's not too late to call, and it's not too late to support one of the best shows on WMNF, one of the shows that really defines what community radio is all about, Art in Your Ear with Jo Ellen Schilke, every Friday, 1 p.m. It needs your support right now. Jo Ellen needs your support. WMNF needs to hear from you. The number to call is 813-238-8001. This is your community station. This is your show. This is your life in your own hands. Take care of it. Take care of it. 813-238-8001.
When you do support WMNF, you are supporting yourself. If you're a listener of WMNF, you are making us strong, and you are giving yourself more things to listen to. When we have a solid financial base, and we can take risks that other radio stations can't do. We can have programming that other people don't play because they're too scared of losing their funding for. So help keep us strong. Help keep us thriving. We have just under a minute. I do want to thank everyone that donated to the show. I very much want to thank Clyde Butcher and his daughter Jackie and granddaughter Kayla, who made the interview happen. And we are very, very lucky to have such talent in the area. You are listening to WMNF Tampa, the best station in the whole damn nation. 813-238-8001. Continue to give. Continue to give to Live Music Showcase and The Bumpy Ride and Reverend Billy and Route 66 and everything we do here at the station. But please first give to Art in Your Ear.
Support Art in Your Ear. There's just seconds left in the show, but you can call during the newscast and give your pledge to Art in Your Ear.